Harris.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know whether I made myself clear yesterday, but I would like to get from Westmoreland his very close personal, just as my friend. I don't give a damn about the command. What he thinks has happened since March 31st. What effect has my speech or my course of action stopping the bombing? What effect has that had on the enemy? What effect has the infiltration and so forth that stopping the bombing had on him? Has it hurt him much? Has it? How much longer does he think he'd go without being hurt? Are we getting more of the infiltrators now? I'd like to get Westmoreland's view on that and all of his staff view. Just tell him the president has a March 31st deadline, and he works from there. Now, he wants to know whether this order, stopping the bombing above the 20th parallel, what effect it has had. Has it hurt us much? I think he'd say, well, you've lost only 2 days or 1 day, whatever it is, 4 days.
Right.
What effect has this concentration had? Has it been able to pick up much more there? Are they increasing their infiltration? Should we go back to Chen Hao, whatever that place was, at Marshalling Yard, where the railroad lines, where they had to ferry them across? Should we go back in there at 12 miles from the 20th and hit them? What is happening there? Have we got any pictures, or can we get any? Why can't we? That's below the 20th. Why can't we see what's happening?
Come in.
Come in.
Yes, sir, I'll do that. Just get his personal assessment, if we can, before our Tuesday meeting. And I think that you ought to, whatever you need to tell them, my own judgment, just in the dark, without any recommendation to you, is we probably ought to go back between 19th and 20th the next day or two, because we didn't agree not to go below the 20th. We may catch him by surprise, so I tell Momar, whoever it is, to start tightening up his belt, getting his planes ready, because it looks like to you, you ought to go in there, and you want him to be ready to do it when you mash a button, and then I would go in such numbers that I really, I'd let it cost him. But let's look at this whole thing for this. We've had a month now. A month's coming up on us, and we're coming up Tuesday. And I'd like to have a kind of a accurate, up-to-date month. What's happened in the way of infiltration? What's happened with the military morale of our men and of the Vietnamese? See, the New York Times got a bad story that Chu was not invited to Honolulu. And that while we tried to explain, we had Park there to talk about troops. And Chu, nevertheless, has felt insecure and his feelings hurt. Now, hell, we invited him and he turned us down. But those lying sons of bitches...
You didn't feel safe coming at that time.
That's right. But these lying bastards, they tell the American people this, you see. And that's what happens.
Check that out
and have it for us. That's good. And you give me any of your impressions. I really want you to get in here now and get with this with me and tell me what we ought to be doing to move this thing along. Just confidentially, the Pope may invite us to go. And if they do, we'd go. I guess they wouldn't. But I think we ought to have, the Shah of Iran ought to make a suggestion. I think different ones ought to make it, and we ought to come along pretty well. But I can't figure out, I don't want to deal with Utah, and I can't figure out who to do it. But I think Lester Pearson wouldn't be too bad. He's a noble president. He's getting out of office. He's reasonably... Anyway, I want to get the military thing, and I want to know how much longer we can continue to do this without hurting us. Hell, if I do it another month, well, that's good news. What's your judgment?
I don't think it's hurt us too much yet, Mr. President. I must say that I would like to operate between 19 and 20 degrees, because that transshipment point stand wise is important. Further north, I think it's been psychological advantage to the enemy rather than military. Of course, with the good weather comes, that'll be an entirely different thing.
Well, but if we're doing good down there now, maybe we're doing more good where we are than where we would be.
Well,
that's what you want. Well, you talk and try to sell your people over there on it. I see where the civilians are. Looks like it. Have you read the Times this morning?
No, sir, I haven't seen the Times.
Well, it says that the civilians over there, Mr. Clifford's predecessor, McNamara, left the bank with grave doubts. The discontent had reached the point the senior officials, assistant secretaries, and defense undersecretaries were contemplating resignation. Clifford, it is felt, listened and was persuaded by the argument put forth by Nitze, Warnicke, Antoven, and members of their staffs and other seniors. At first, an official said, quote, "We thought he was just conning us, make us feel good, but now I think he really was persuaded." Clifford then began to argue the Tuesday lunch strategy sessions for a restriction of the bombing, for a change in the ground strategy in the South, for a shift in the burden. He is believed to have encouraged the replacement of Westmoreland. It's a hell of a story. It's a terrible story, and all of it's true. It's all true. Mr. President, I can't. Johnson told Defense Secretary to proceed with the plan that had not been decided upon, not to discuss its implementation with his subordinate in order to avoid a leak. Mr. President, I can't do it that way, Clifford is said to have replied. I have to discuss it with my people. There may be leaks, but it'll have to be done. The President is reported to have said nothing further, and Clifford proceeded as he wished. Somebody's talking over in that Pentagon, and it's me or you or Clifford. Because we're the only three there, and that's pretty accurate. But these damn little untrustworthy bastards that he's got a sale up there, and we just... McNamara left that cell, and we just got to learn. Dean's got it, but Dean knows it now, and we write the messages over here.
Right.
And we've got to do it there, too, as long as they got that cell. Now, that's why I'm calling you this morning. Now, I'm not calling through some assistant secretary. You're my chief of staff, Westmoreland's my man out there, and Clifford have a goddamn thing to do with removing Westmoreland. Westmoreland's promoted. If he's not, I'll sign him back. If it's more to have him out there than is here, he'll damn sure get it, because I'm not going to reflect on him. But, that's what they're saying, you know.
I know that wasn't their intent at all. You wanted to promote him, and thoroughly deserved it.
Well, and you recommended. You came back here. The thing it caused me is Bob had him as one of three places, and I was considering it, and I thought he'd be an attractive witness. And I thought he'd be an attractive man in town to give us some influence. I just thought he would be, because he has a little few ribbons on, and I thought that would give us a little something we need. But the thing that caused me to do what I did is you came back here, and you said that you thought that this was the thing to do, and you recommended, and he would like to do it. He would like to do it. And I said, well, what about this? And you said, well, Black Jack Pershing and Eisenhower, and you started listening. I said, I got to... this is not anything to laugh off to be chief staff of the United States Army. It's the biggest thing. But now they're saying, they see that Clifford came in and got rid of it. And they quote another article in the Times. They say that they got a lame duck president. The first they got rid of Westmoreland, then they got rid of Johnson. So they're really making progress. And that's, well, they haven't got rid of us for another 10 months. And let's go after them now, this next week. Goodbye. Okay. Bye.